Right, we are going to be discussing on this podcast today. We'll be discussing the considerations around applications for exemption from mandatory workplace vaccination policies based on religious grounds. And I think this is a very important topic considering the current state of our vaccination rollout, and workplaces starting to introduce these policies to ensure that they can get their full workforce back. Moving into 2020, so that we can just try and renormalize the working environment. So my name is Dylan Bushier, and I'm with Alistair Day van Heerden. We are in the employment department, and I think it's a very important topic, Alistair, to be discussing right now because, you know, as soon as these employers start introducing these mandatory vaccination policies, whether they require their employees to be vaccinated to return to the workplace, or whether it's more of a suggestive and encouraged step to take, I think that it's important to discuss this because, you know, there's going to be exemptions that are going to have to be raised, and you'll touch on that a little bit more just now. But these exemptions will have to be considered by employers, and I think when it comes to medical exemptions, it's a little bit easier to try and determine, you know, whether you can actually allow for that. For that exemption to be accepted or not, because the facts come from a doctor. But when it comes to religion, I guess it's a little bit tougher because now we all have to try and just make ourselves a little bit more familiar with the various religious tenets that we do have in society. So I'm just wanted to find out maybe what you, if you had a comment on that, and if you could walk us through that a bit.
No, absolutely. I think before we sort of dive into the exemption processes, would it be helpful at all generally to have a broader understanding of within what scheme these exemption processes fall? So I know there's been a lot of discussion about mandatory vaccination policies generally, but what are the sort of contents of a mandatory vaccine policy at its basis, and where within that scheme do you think that these exemptions would fit?
I think we have to start with a directive that was issued by the Department of Labor in June. And that directive itself does afford for employees who do want to raise an exemption if they feel that they don't need to be vaccinated based on religious or medical grounds. The Department of Labor has said that employers must consider that those exemptions to ensure that they fully afford employees the ability to exercise their constitutional rights. And you know, like I said, I think the religious exemptions will be the toughest. But so the South African legal system does have you know, in place a statutory scheme which does strongly underpin these fundamental values and principles that are enshrined in the Constitution. And you know, one of these rights is a right to guarantee the right to religious freedom, and I think that's where the Department of Labor sort of kickstarted their position from. And this, you know, is regulated. It is a regulated system, ensuring that religious freedom in, you know, we have a wide secular society that it does recognize that religious freedom. But however, our constitution and our legislation allows for reasonable limitations. But just before we get onto that, maybe you could just talk us through how, you know, as far as we know, there are no cases in South Africa yet where an employee has taken their employer to the CCMA and to other forums to have a dispute based on religious discrimination and being forced to take the vaccination, the COVID-19 vaccination. So I was wondering if maybe you could just talk us through a couple of international cases that we've come across and how they've treated it.
Sure, absolutely. So I guess the first thing to do is sort of to split the international cases into two categories or two sort of buckets of cases. The first bucket, or at least from the American perspective, the first bucket have been those cases in which policies have been implemented which don't have any form of exemption process at all. And we see that in that bucket, you have certain policies implemented by the New York Department of Health, for instance, which have just broadly indicated that all employees are mandated to get vaccinations. And though that vaccination policy didn't make any provision for any form of exemption. Now, the court hasn't made a final determination on that, but has imposed a temporary restraining order on the imposition of that particular policy on the basis that it believes that there is a clear indication that there might be violations of rights. So what we see that this is, and how we see that this is important, is we see that generally mandatory vaccination policies should all contain some form of exemption process or procedure. In South Africa, we know that that's codified within the directive issued by the Department of Labor. But again, this is just a sort of a principled assertion that exemption procedures are important. So when people speak about mandatory vaccination policies, it's not that you cannot speak about mandatory vaccination policies without necessarily having exemption procedures inserted therein. The next step, or the next sort of bucket of cases that have sort of come out from the United States, are those cases which seek to actually engage with the content of the exemption procedures. And we see that there's been a number of different cases from different jurisdictions within the United States coming out with very different answers to how the balancing of those exemption procedures should be considered. And we think that this is probably partially because of the composition and the nature of the United States as a legal setup, that there are going to be these very different views. So it's very difficult to precisely pin down exactly one jurisdictional view from the United States. But generally what we see coming through is that courts will either consider when people raise religious exemptions, and in performing the balancing of the right to religion and the right to religious considerations, they will balance that between the supposed safety requirements inherent in getting a vaccine, and the weight that they ascribe to the two various different sides of this balancing may be dependent upon very different factors. One of the factors that they would most certainly consider is whether or not the nature of the allegation, or the nature of the right, the religious right that has been asserted, there should be an investigation process into that. So for instance, in one particular case, the case of Majulio versus Edward Via College of Osteopathic Medicine, the allegation was made by certain students at a university who had raised a religious exemption, had been granted the religious exemption, but this religious exemption had come along with other certain sort of requirements for them to fulfill. What they had claimed is that, well, that taking the vaccine contains certain stem cells, which is against our particular belief to take, so therefore on our religion we should not have to take them. And what the court there did is that it didn't even investigate the claim that many of the vaccines do have some of those stem cells that require the stem cells as alleged, as it were. So the court didn't investigate that at all and just took that as a given. Whereas we see much research shows that that might not necessarily be the case. And in that Majulio case, the court, this is a Louisiana court, then found that, you know, in the circumstances, the right to religion was unduly infringed by the requirements of having all these additional safety measures imposed upon the particular students. However, if we contrast that case between a case of Klassen et al. Versus the trustees of Indiana University, which is a different university in a different state and reliant on a different case, we found that the court in that particular instance did indicate that the exemption procedure established actually gave life to the ability of certain students' rights to certain students' religious rights, and that in those sort of instances it was perfectly legitimate to have a court sort of, or have a university impose these safety requirements. So we see there's a broad sort of overarching or broad differences coming through from the precedent in the United States, which is a bit tricky. What can we necessarily take from those cases and apply to the South African perspective? I think if we try to intertwine the South African considerations of what one might consider in discrimination cases based upon religious grounds, we see that there would certainly be an obligation of people bringing exemption procedures to first of all firmly establish that taking the vaccine interferes with their ability to practice their belief or faith. And then the second very important thing that they would need to establish is that the ability to practice, which has been interfered with, is a central tenet of their faith. So essentially, if you want to bring a religious exemption to a mandatory vaccination policy, or if you're considering a religious exemption to a mandatory vaccination policy, you need to show, or as somebody bringing the exemption, you need to show that taking the vaccine actually does interfere with your ability to practice your faith. And secondly, you need to show that that ability to practice that has been interfered with is a central tenet of the faith. And if you're somebody trying to consider these exemption processes, the best way to consider that would also be to examine the centrality of this tenet, would be to perhaps ask this individual whether they might have taken other sort of pharmaceutical drugs which have been developed in the same sort of way as this vaccine has done. So once those two criteria are met, an employer who is assessing these sort of exemptions assumes the obligation to prove that the nature of the employee's position inherently requires them to be vaccinated, and reasonable measures have been taken to accommodate the employee's belief. So essentially, if those two criteria as before have been firmly established, the employer then assumes the obligation and assumes the burden to indicate that, let's see if we can try perhaps put them somewhere where there is more risk, less risk. Let's see if we can perhaps try impose some form of mask wearing mandate for that particular individual, require weekly COVID tests. And after that process has been established, difficulties and disputes may still arise where an employer suspects that the exemption applied for is in bad faith, or where an employer is unable to reasonably accommodate the employee in those circumstances, or even where the employee rejects the additional impositions imposed upon them. So that's a broad, I'm not sure if there's things arising from there, which you believe.
Yeah, I mean, I think you touched on a very important point earlier where you said, you talked about the sort of the inherent requirements of taking this vaccination, an employer, you know, needing that element to be an inherent requirement of the job. So we talk about maybe nurses or doctors. I mean, it's a no-brainer that those are the individuals that are directly engaging with people who are, you know, are very sick or have comorbidities, and obviously you don't want to raise that risk. So to be able to state that would be an inherent requirement of the job, I think would be accurate. And so an employer needs to just evaluate its workplace, needs to do a proper risk assessment and identify where its employees who have comorbidities, who fall within the definition of vulnerable employees. But, you know, this issue of inherent requirement goes back, I mean, before COVID-19. Just to make mention, there's a case of Dlamini versus Green for Security. This is a 2006 case. And this case dealt with the dismissal of security guards who had refused to shave their beards. And the employees argued that the beard was an inherent tenet of their religious belief, and the employer obviously argued the other way, and the applicants alleged that their dismissal was unfair in terms of section 187 subsection 1F of the LRA. But I think, you know, you also made mention of reasonable accommodation, and so employers do have to consider various different ways of adopting the new norm, and being able to accept the fact that there are some employees who will have valid grounds on which to object. And I think that's the direction that we are going. And on top of that, you know, what the government is now doing is they're starting to take slowly but surely a stricter approach. And now what they have started to introduce is once you are vaccinated, you will be you'll have access to a website which allows you to then sign up for a vaccination certificate. And this is going to be designed and developed into a QR code, which will, I think, you know, the government will legislate this, that you'll be required to carry this around, and that certain businesses will be able to state that you aren't allowed to enter their premises without such QR code. And there was a case recently in the Netherlands, actually, which we could have a look at. And in that case, employees... members of the public brought a motion to the court to state that these QR codes and these vaccination certificates are actually in violation of both national and international legislation. And you know, a lot of food and beverage outlets, locations for arts and cultures events, they are the ones who said that you need to be in possession of this valid admission certificate. But basically, and ultimately what the court said in the Netherlands case is they looked at the context and the bigger picture, and they realized that they had, as things were going back to normal, they were abandoning rules such as the 1.5 meter standard. And so what they then needed to do was to say, well, you know, if we're going to abandon these certain principles, we're going to have to still ensure that during the epidemiological situation and in the country, they need to have some way of ensuring that the citizens remain safe. And this is to ensure that places, your outlets are able to regulate that and ensure that those who maybe don't carry the certificates are turned away so that they are not put at risk or putting other people's lives at risk. And ultimately what the court found was that the introduction of the certificate, which is legislated, was introduced on a sound legal basis, and that any restriction of fundamental rights is also based on a sound legal basis, and that the certificate has a legitimate purpose. So ultimately what they said is that a possible infringement of a fundamental right is therefore also motivated by a legitimate aim. And I think that if anything in South Africa, any litigation had to take place in terms of the certificates, it would be those who believe that they, you know, either on medical or religious grounds, won't need to take the vaccination. So I was just wondering if you had any last remarks about that before we close up. But I think that's an interesting development that the country's taking at the moment.
Absolutely. I don't necessarily have like any direct commentary, but just broadly raising questions. I know a lot of the elements of objections that have been raised by employers are based upon the right to personal information, as it were, and it's just also another interesting realm that we are now entering into, considering an employee's right to personal information when it comes to disclosing their vaccination status. And I think that moving forward, employers must just be very, very aware of their obligations to ensure that any information they obtain from an employer is duly protected and duly respected. I guess also this is a very, I think generally it's a very divisive topic, and especially when one considers religion and sort of constitutional rights, which fall part of it as well. So the only sort of final commentary that I might have is just an appreciation that employers need to have when approaching these sort of balancing rights, that in making these decisions, they must be certain not to come in too strong on either side of the coin, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think everything is changing and moving so fast that we have to just continue to adapt and continue to stay on top of it, but ensure that we protect our employees' basic rights that are set out in the Constitution. But thank you very much, Alistair, and I hope this knowledge was very valuable.
Thanks, Tim.